to tab 8 of the Research Steering Committee report. This was a two-day meeting held just after the Memorial Day weekend. The principal activity was to give management reviews for 7 different projects. If you look in the beginning of tab 8, if you have a list of the projects, and the principal document that I'll be working off of will be document number 2, which is the committee summary. Document number 1 is summaries of the projects, which are essentially the same as what's in document number 2. So give people a minute to find those. And most of the report will be on the findings of the committee on these projects. The first one I'll go over is the Northeast Groundfish Study Fleet project. This was a pilot project, but it's also a program, which means it's ongoing, hence the rather large budget that you see listed. And in this program, the goal was basically to develop hardware and software for fishermen to be able to gather fine-scale fishery-dependent data for use by the Science Center to enhance stock assessments. And as part of this project, they had to do all that, and you can see the 5 bullets listed on the top of page 2, which were basically what they had to do. And we spent quite a bit of time on this. They were able to accomplish this. They equipped these vessels. They tried out a number of different hardwares. They went through a number of different iterations, perfections. Some hardware was discarded as being impractical. Pretty consistent findings for a pilot project. As part of this, they were also developing potential software and hardware for an electronic logbook. I would note for the record that several of the members of the committee, several council members, were participants in this project, basically in the interest of full disclosure. The only participation they had in the discussion was to answer questions. You can see they basically got to a certain point. The contract came to an end, and the program has been suspended pending further review and a decision by the service as to where they want to go next with it. So where it was left at the time now is that a more comprehensive plan to acquire fishery-dependent data may be the next step. But that's still under review. We had a number of specific comments. Again, this was a very large and detailed project. We feel that this project probably should undergo a comprehensive peer and technical review so we can decide what would be the best way to proceed if we're going to continue to proceed. While it didn't achieve all of its goals and objectives as discussed in the text, the project did provide some basis for further initiatives, and there was a great deal of useful information in the final report. Overall, the committee considered the report acceptable for management purposes, with further work necessary as listed above. One of the points that we wanted to make very strongly is that the study fleet and electronic VTR is a two totally separate programs and should be developed as such. Electronic VTR is essentially an enforcement item, whereas a study fleet is to gather fine-scale fishery-dependent data for science. They're two fundamentally different programs, and if they somehow get combined, you're going to end up with a situation that's similar to the current logbook you have, where it's maybe of some use to enforcement, but it's not terribly useful to science. And we think the two programs should be divorced and kind of go their separate ways. The hardware and the software may end up being similar and may need to be tested in a similar fashion, and the technologies may be shared. But it would be our recommendation at this point that they proceed as separate entities. So I'll take, questions on that one first, if anybody has any.
Questions to Dave?
Quiet group today.
Okay. The next one we reviewed was improving the selectivity of trawl gear with escape windows and visual stimuli. I should also note for the council members, you've received a CD that has the final report of each of these on it. If any of you want to go and look through them, some of them are quite lengthy. If we'd have printed them out in paper here, you'd probably have a mound you couldn't see over. Again, the research priority address was to evaluate discard, bycatch, and non-catch mortality rates, initiate special studies under experimental design protocols to calculate gear interactions. Results were obtained. They were reviewed. There were some problems noted. Under the results section here, you can read them. We agreed with the technical review, and the major finding of this program was they used hexagonal mesh, and what they were looking for was to see if there was a difference in discard rates or bycatch reduction by using hexagonal mesh. And the only conclusion they could really make was that they couldn't conclude that there was any difference. So for a number of reasons, we determined that this particular study really didn't have anything that was acceptable for use in management. That doesn't mean the study was unacceptable. It just means that there wasn't anything here that management could use to change how we currently do business. So any questions on? John? Get one right here. Oh. Dave, I don't know who's, you want me to? Okay.
Yeah, this is a question more, I guess, for the service than anyone else, and that is, I note from the first paragraph that the NOAA Fisheries cover letter states that the investigators completed some of what was described in the statement of work, but that the project activities were not consistent with the description in the original contract. When that situation occurs, what is the National Marine Fisheries Service response?
Well, that's a good question. As a matter of fact, we've recently been having that discussion. Our initial response is to go back to the investigator and try to remedy what we can. Beyond that, frankly, I don't know at this point, but we are concerned about that kind of a finding. And we want to make sure that doesn't continue to happen. But I don't have a good answer for you yet because we're still trying to figure that out ourselves.
My question was pretty much along the same lines as David's. Whenever the states have a project funded by the service, we have to provide progress reports, and in the progress reports we have to provide what's if anything is deviating from the program design. And is it my sense is that you didn't get that type of information until real late in the program, or am I incorrect on that?
No, I think that's true in this case.
Yeah. Are these set up so that you get or are supposed to get progress reports that were similar to what I just described?
Yes, that's typical. It's a condition of the contract that there be progress reports.
All right. Well, I guess I would just urge that those types of things be adhered to. I know we have to adhere to it. Otherwise, we get a letter from the service reminding us that we have not complied, and then they do the review of the progress report when we submit it and get us back a note saying it is acceptable because it meets the standards of what has been put in there before. And if there's a change in design of the program, that's usually a letter requesting that the service accept a change in design. And that shouldn't be I would think that's the type of format to follow on all of these projects.
Yeah, and looking at the first paragraph again, it dawned on me that this proposal was submitted in July 2002 and then approved November 10, 2005. That's over 3 years, 3.5 years, perhaps because so much time transpired between when it was submitted and when it was approved that conditions changed, and maybe the fishermen who wanted to be involved in the work got a little frustrated and tired waiting 3.5 years. If that's a typo, fine, but if it's not a typo, it's perhaps an example of how, at least back then, because this is was 2002 and conditions have changed, now we're 2006. I would hope that the situation has changed so that now when a proposal is submitted, approval comes in a relatively short period of time, or disapproval, because I know that I have also experienced great difficulty in submitting proposals, and then there's a long delay in getting approval, and fishermen lose interest. They're off doing other things, involved in other fisheries, or maybe they've hooked up with other researchers who have gotten money to do projects through the Northeast Consortium, for example, as opposed to through the service. So that's just a logistical problem that I hope has been rectified. If it hasn't been rectified in terms of the delay in getting approval, then it's a real problem for the whole concept of this research done in cooperation with the industry.
Anybody else? Okay, Dave?
Yeah, just to David's and John's points, I think the final report was approved on November 10th, 2005. The work was done back in 2002, I believe. And what I was going to say is that this is one of the earliest projects from the first batch of cooperative research projects that was funded when I think we were wrestling with trying to get the program going. And I believe on a personal basis that there is far more oversight in the more recent projects than there was in some of these initial ones, that people realized that there were oversight gaps and there have been moves to correct them. And hopefully you won't be receiving this type of reports from projects funded in 2004 and 2005. If you do, I would be very discouraged. So if there aren't any further questions, I'll move on to the next one. And that is development of a video technique for bycatch reduction study. And this was actually a pretty interesting study. They were trying to use underwater cameras to develop a non-invasive, if you will, way of doing a stock assessment. Instead of having to catch the fish, they were going to pass them through a caught end and basically use a counter and a quantifying device to, measure them, get a link frequency, and figure out what was going through there. They had some success down to about 30 fathoms. After that, they had issues with clarity of the water and the brightness of the picture and being able to get the measurements they needed. So this may have some use in the future, perhaps in shallow water environments, but it would not be a wide-ranging way of doing surveys in all depths. We did find that all the goals and objectives were addressed. They obviously didn't achieve them all, but the methods were innovative, and a number of products have been widely distributed. One of the other sidebars to this particular program was the fishermen involved invented a number of ways of quantifying bycatch, a number of kind of hardware technical solutions that may have applicability in the future. But in general, the project was considered useful to other researchers who may wish to base future projects on the results. So it's, you know, there was some interesting stuff here. I think the money was well spent. Now we, to some extent, know what we know and know what we can't do, at least at the moment. So I'll take questions on that.
Questions? No? Well, it sounds pretty straightforward.
Okay. Assessing benthic community recovery in the Western Gulf of Maine closed area. This was a graduate student project submitted by Dr. Les Watling and his graduate student, Emily Knight. The project we reviewed was the final report for the project, which was not the master's thesis. That master's thesis has been reviewed by their committee and has been accepted and is also available as part of this study for use by management. And basically, this was to look at complex habitat in three areas, an area that was frequently trawled off of Maine, an area that had been closed for 4 years, and an area that had been closed for 6 years. And they wanted to address benthic habitat recovery in the untrawled areas. The results are presented. Basically, as one would probably expect, the place that was closed for 6 years showed the most diversity. The area that was closed for 4 years showed greater diversity, but not necessarily more than one of the areas that was heavily trawled. There's some information there that's pretty interesting. There was a detailed analytical analysis done of the various species and whether the differences were significant or not significant. It was a pretty, at least from the fisherman's perspective, I think a pretty complex report to digest, a lot of math. There were significant differences, as I said, between the open and closed areas, but there was also not so much differences between some of the heavily trawled areas and the closed areas. And the findings were that this was useful for management, and there's a lot of activity here, a lot of information here on benthic habitats and relatively complex bottom.
Questions?
On a roll. Okay, the next two are essentially one large project, even though they had different goals and objectives. They're to try and measure the effects of smooth bottom trawling on the seabed. They were done by principally by Frank Maracci, who is a former council member, many of you will know. These reports were extremely detailed. You can read through the summaries of them, and basically we treat them as one report and go to the bottom of the next page. The technical review, because these were extensive reports, was adequate, and the projects achieved all their stated goals. The report was well done. The methods and results were clearly stated. Section of the report in which the authors discussed the level of habitat disturbances caused by a severe storm and its impacts in eroding the fine muddy substrates in the study area was a very interesting kind of sidelight that came out of this study. People should take a good look at that. This report will have quite a bit of use for management in a number of in a number of our different committees, Habitat, Groundfish. Very, very well done. I would say this is kind of a sidelight. If I was to, of the reports I've reviewed personally so far, if I was to kind of use one as a textbook example of what cooperative research should look like, it would be this project. It is very, very well done. There were nobody overreached on their conclusions. Everything was amply documented. There was plenty of data to support what conclusions were drawn. If somebody was to call the council office and say, what should a cooperative research project look like, I would hand them a copy of these reports. Very, very well done. Any questions? Okay. The last one was one that we really weren't going to review because it isn't really applicable to New England management. It's characterization of bycatch reduction for cod and mesh size increases in the directed scup bottom trawl fishery, since we don't manage scup. But we did have actually quite a lengthy discussion on this particular report because we felt that we shouldn't just forward it to the Mid-Atlantic and just say, here you go. So we have listed under RSC discussion the comments that will be sent along to the Mid-Atlantic, but we would note that we didn't really technically review it. It was more a general discussion so the Mid can basically do their own evaluation. But we did have a few issues that we think need to be addressed. And I believe, Pat, is the researcher being contacted to see if they wanted to comment on these issues? Or
Nance might have done that, but we were just going to simply forward the report with the letter to their committee that's analogous to the Research Steering Committee. We didn't discuss sending comments to the authors.
Okay.
I
couldn't remember exactly. I mean, we didn't, like I said, it isn't anything that there's anything wrong. We just had some questions that we would have liked to have had a little more discussion on, and we think that basically the Mid might want to do that as well. So, again, if there's any questions on that. John?
Questions on this cup? John?
Not just this one, but where it's recommended for various committees, are they then sent to those committees, or is there some other process that we need to go through to get them through the committees for them to be aware of and make use of?
Pat?
All of these, rather than send them to each individual committee member, because you all get them in some form here at the council meeting, they're usually the paper copies are included in your binders. In this case, you have CDs, but they're also forwarded to the technical staff, who are the chairs of the PDTs. Also, when I get them in, I notify those people that we have them available in the office and that the Research Steering Committee is going to review them, so they're all aware of what we have and then the subsequent reviews.
Anybody else? Go ahead.
Okay. Lastly, under additional agenda items, we received a report on a discussion of coordinated educational and outreach activities, and had quite a long discussion about how we might proceed with that, both through the council process, through the Science Center process, through the service process, through the consortium, and through universities. We also received a report that there will be a broad agency announcement, which is what's affectionately referred to as a BAA. It will be published soon as the legal review is complete. The anticipated funds are on the range of $700,000 to $800,000, so it won't be a big pot of money for people to apply for, but hopefully we'll be able to fund a few projects. Pat, could you maybe mention a little bit about this next bullet, the coordinate with the NCRPP to utilize its website?
For those that are interested, because it's been a long-standing issue that these final reports aren't available to the broader public who might be interested in doing follow-on research or might simply just be interested in the results themselves. So NIMS has started to, and in fact the website's been updated to include those reports. We will have a link that will link our website, our cooperative research page, to the NIMS website. It will also include whether the report has been reviewed by the Research Steering Committee or not, and whether those reports have been recommended for use in management. I think that you'll find that sooner or later, everything that this council's talked about and the Research Steering Committee, all the projects that have been have come before the committee will be up there, but it's a vastly enhanced page now, so that anybody wishing to follow up has those results available. I think that was it for the website. Was there other stuff?
And lastly, we provided a number of comments to NIMS concerning revisions for its process for reviewing and recommending cooperative research proposals. Some of us that have been involved in this for a long time, and the newcomers as well, the review process is complex. It's cumbersome. It's somewhat arbitrary. Every iteration, we've tried to make it better, and we're still continuing to update things and striving for greater transparency and concerning decision-making and final approval of projects for funding, so that people know why things were funded or why they weren't funded, or they understand the process, and so that, quite frankly, the reviewers understand the process, so that all the reviewers are reviewing at the same scale. And if nobody has any other questions, that will complete my report.
Okay. Anything else for Research Steering? Phil?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess basically a question for George, which he might have or might not have, but under the other business that was we were handled at the committee level was this VAA, which was supposed to be out. Actually, at the committee meeting, we were told it would be out in a day or two, they thought, and it still hasn't come out. And it's one of those lost in the paperwork jobs again, or in the upper hierarchy of service, or wherever the hell it gets lost. There seems to be a dark room over there where a bunch of this stuff ends up falling. And I was wondering if George could say what's happening.
I'd have to check on it. I don't know what the status of that is. It's done out of a different office than mine, but I can check on it for you.
Okay, that concludes Research Steering. It's early, but I think we'll break for the day unless Tom?
Yeah, I don't mean to beat a dead horse. I'm just, it seems to me, and I don't know whether the call can maybe add to what I said earlier, but after sitting at the GAR meeting the other day and listening to the discussions about the implications of having to do an environmental impact statement for ground fish during, at the time that we get